This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, God's Prescription for Coronavirus.
Children's Church, looks like it's going to be an easy one. Sounds ominous, doesn't it? What are we supposed to think? Barbara, you said we don't know what to do sometimes. The country is in turmoil. Things seem to be getting out of hand. We feel like everything is out of control. Can I assure you this morning that there is somebody who's got everything under control? Is that amen, saints? You have that silent amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
As the Lord told me, it's not going to be Destination Heaven this week. I said, well, what's it going to be? And I began to get that sense from the Holy Spirit. This is not the first time something like this has ever happened. Well, what happened 4,000 years ago? Didn't things like this occur back then? And what did the people do? What kind of direction did they have? They didn't have hospitals. They didn't have medicine. They didn't have doctors. They didn't have disinfectant wipes. What in the world did they do? They had no ShopRite to run to and everything's gone. So they must have done something. And of course, in my study over the years, I had an insight into what that was. And I just wondered, how many of you have that solid insight into how God dealt with communicable diseases back then? And how is that going to be effective at all in 2020? And the answer came resoundingly back to me. Again, God's got everything under control because the things he did back then are applicable to today. Right here, right now, this moment. So let me begin with some history that may surprise some of you. For many hundreds of years, leprosy had killed countless of millions in Europe. We don't usually think of Europe being the place. We support a ministry that deals with lepers today in India, but it was in Europe. In the book, History of Public Health, by Dr. George Rosen, R-O-S-E-N, you see his picture up there, Columbia University professor of public health. He writes these words, quote, leprosy cast the greatest shadow over the daily life of medieval humanity. Fears of all other diseases taken together can hardly be compared to the terror spread by leprosy. Not even the Black Death in the 14th century produced a similar state of fright. And statistics show the Black Death made the Dark Ages really dark. The killer took the lives of one out of four persons, an estimated 60 million people, which represented about 25% of the European population. If it were to happen here, that would be the equivalent of 90 million Americans perishing from a disease. Think about how big that is. It was the greatest disaster, according to Dr. Rosen, ever experienced and recorded in human history. What brought the major plagues of the Dark Ages under control? Dr. Rosen gives us an answer. Quote, ready? Leadership was taken by the church, as the physicians had nothing to offer. The church took as its guiding principle the concept of contagion. Now, that means the transmission of diseases by direct contact or with indirect contact, as embodied in the Old Testament. The church went back to the book, and in there they found insights for what they were experiencing. He goes on to say, this idea and its practical consequences are defined with great clarity in the book of Leviticus. Once the condition of leprosy had been established, the patient was to be segregated and excluded from the community. Dr. Rosen finishes up with this. Following the precepts laid down in Leviticus, the church undertook the task of combating leprosy. It accomplished the first great feat, the methodical eradication of disease. Think about that. There was a procedure that came from Leviticus, Leviticus 13:46. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone, be in quarantine. Without, outside the camp, shall his habitation be. As soon as the European nations saw that the application of scriptural quarantine brought leprosy under control, they applied the same principle against the Black Death. The results were equally spectacular, and millions of lives were saved. By what? By following a prescription in this book. The coronavirus is not the first severe disease to affect America, or would with serious health effects. 1920s, the Spanish flu. Many, many, many thousands of people were killed. SARS, the swine flu, and now what we're dealing with today. So it's not something new. It's happened before. In fact, it said that if you look on the bottles of certain disinfectant wipes, listed as some of the things that it can deal with is corona. It's listed right there, the coronavirus, and those things have been out for years. So it's not something new. It's something recent, and it's a different strain of something that's been around for a while. When biblical medical procedures established 4,000 years ago are embraced and implemented by modern science and technology, that is a winning formula to get our country and through the world through this. Listen to what God promised Moses. Exodus 15:26. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord, thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that heals thee. If you listen to me, as opposed to the Egyptians, who are listening to their dead gods, and listening to their own wisdom and their own medicine and their own education, if you do what I tell you, you won't suffer the things that are going to come upon them. They won't be as severe. Again, God's not saying you'll never have any kind of sickness in your community. No, God says, let me tell you how to deal with it when it comes so that it can be minimized, so that it can be controlled, so that it can be handled, so that you'll have a fighting chance. And that's all he's promised to give us. And that's what these things are all about. Leviticus lays out God's prescription, a three-step process for dealing with communicable disease. And this sounds just like what you're hearing on the news, just what's happening in our nation. Step number one, Leviticus 13:46, quarantine. Separate the affected person or persons. Step number two, Leviticus 13:56 and 57. Wash, disinfect the quarantined person's clothing and possessions. And if godly wisdom indicates that's not going to be effective, burn everything they possessed. Now that sounds radical and that sounds difficult, but let me tell you how bad it actually got. It got to the place when plagues would strike certain villages in a valley, that God would see that the plague was not going to be wiped out by the techniques he had developed early on with separating and so forth. And what he would say to the town, the village is, I want you to strip yourselves of your clothing. I want you to set fire to everything in this valley, every building that's here. Burn it all and get up that mountain on the other side and go to another valley. Why fire? Because they didn't have hand wipes. Why fire? Because they didn't have bleach. Fire turns out to be one of the best, what? Disinfectants. And so God knew something that they didn't know. They didn't know that buried in whatever the plague was a microbody, some kind of a bacteria, some kind of a bug, if you will. They had no microscopes. They had nobody sharing that kind of wisdom with them. They didn't know about these things, but somebody did know about these things. And who was that? Romans 1:20 tells us it was the God who created, quote, the invisible things. God knows about the things he created. Inside every single cell of your body are micro machines. Things that are working inside your cell to keep your cell clean and healthy and fed. When Darwin first put his theory of evolution together, he thought that the cell was simple. He called it a single simple cell. But it wasn't single, simple. There was so much complexity going on in each cell. There is intelligence, there's information inside each and every cell of yours. What about your DNA? It is so complex and so complicated. Science is now just beginning to come to the realization of how complicated and how wonderfully and fearfully made we are. But God knows. And so when God gives instructions to his people, burn it, wash it, disinfect it, separate them, he's giving them information that he's got, but he can't explain to them because their minds are not at that point where they will understand microorganisms, bacteria, disease cells. So how does he communicate that? Thus saith the Lord. He speaks to the prophet who speaks to the people, and he speaks with the authority of the Creator. We hear about two methods of dealing with the coronavirus, containment and mitigation. Containment and mitigation. That sounds very much like what we've been talking about for the last 5-10 minutes. This prescription presented to us by the way of the very best medical communities in our country, and this is the prescription given by God to Israel dealing with the coronavirus of that day. But God was not finished with step one and two. Step number one, again, isolation, quarantine. Step number two, disinfectant, washing, fire. What is step number three? Well, let me share a background for step number three before I reveal it to you. The scene is Vienna, Austria. The time is the 1840s. The place is the famous teaching school of the day, Allgemeine Krankenhaus is the name of the school. Dr. S.I. McMillan writes in his book, None of These Diseases, quote, now listen, in the maternity wards of that celebrated hospital, one out of every six women died. That rate was similar to other hospitals around the world. The obstetricians attributed the deaths to constipation, fear, poisonous air. When the women died, they were wheeled into the autopsy room. Next morning, physicians and medical students performed autopsies on the dead women. And then what did they do? They immediately went into the maternity wards to do pelvic exams. Didn't wash their hands, no gloves. 1840s. They did pelvic exams on the living women, unwashed hands, no gloves. It took one courageous doctor named Semmelweis in Vienna in 1847 to conclude hand washing would stop the spread of the killing disease. It worked. But guess what? Like everybody with a new concept in medicine, he was destroyed. They attacked his reputation. They told him it was ridiculous. How could you think such a silly thing like that? Read something about Pasteur and find out how his theories were all rejected. They rejected him. They made him a laughingstock, despite the fact that the evidence showed that what he was doing was working. The mortality rate among his patients had dropped to practically nothing. But many centuries before Semmelweis, God gave Moses detailed instructions on the safest method of cleansing hands after handling the dead or infected. Step number three, found in Numbers 19, here's what God told Moses. One, wash in fresh running water. Fresh running water in the river, in the stream, under the waterfalls. Wash. Let your hands be exposed to that. The second thing, allow time for drying. On a day like this, they would hold their hands up to the air, to the sun, to let the sun dry and disinfect their hands. Thirdly, they changed their clothes, and also they would make sure that their hands were clean, and that when the sun was drying their hands, they didn't realize it, but it was killing bacteria on the surface of the skin. Thirdly, they were told to change their clothes from one person who was sick to another person who was sick. Keep changing your clothes. Keep washing your hands from person to person. Keep allowing the sun and the air to dry your hands. And fourth, don't have direct contact with the dead or the infected. These basic techniques were given by Creator as a major part of what it will take to see an end to this contagion. The medical community is doing things along the same things with testing. Major illnesses and diseases have been overcome in the past by God's remedies, and this too will pass. But unfortunately, we have another pandemic to deal with, the pandemic of fear. So, trusting what God has given to us, which, if you think about it, is exactly what 2020 medical community is doing. This is what they're doing, exactly the steps that God told Moses to take. Is exactly the steps we're taking right here and right now. So if it worked then, and it's worked throughout history, it's going to work at this, and sooner or later, this is going to end. But we've got people in a state of panic, a state of fear and worry. People are rushing to the supermarket. I heard this morning that when the doors open at ShopRite, 300 people were waiting for them to open. The shelves are being emptied out. I mean, schools, my brother's church, there's no people in it. Somebody said a Methodist church down the road, there's no people going to church today. A lot of churches are closed. A lot of people are missing from here today. You see, we've got it to the point where there's a panic. Should we be panicked? Should we be filled with fear like this? We should be cautious. We should take precautions. In Chinatown, 90% of the restaurants are closed. Think of that, 90%. Just a week ago, it was only 50% only. Think about how many businesses are being affected because people are afraid to go there. It's enough to make the calmest people among us have the sense that it's the end of the world. It's not the end of the world. But you say, Pastor, look at the stock market. It's dropped precipitously. We've lost $7 trillion worth of wealth. A few years ago, during one of the epidemics we had at that time, the stock market went from 13,000 to 6,000. And over time, it came up to where it was about a month ago, almost 30,000. So it's going to come back. This is just a season when we're seeing everybody is so panicked and the market is so afraid and the market doesn't like the unknown and it doesn't like fear and it reacts fearfully. The young psalmist David had justifiable reasons to panic. Think about it. His early job was being a shepherd. And that early job of shepherding called him to fight bears and to fight lions to keep his sheep safe. Now, how would you like to fight a bear or a lion? Any cakers? I saw a newsreel about a week ago of some police officer, a young police officer being attacked by a mountain lion. And of course, the cops, our other officers, got the mountain lion off and killed it. But how would you like to be facing that? And not only a mountain lion, and not only a bear, but then he faced his greatest adversary of all, Goliath. So my question to you this morning is, was he afraid? Was David afraid? Psalm 56, 3 and 4 gives us the insight. What, and that means when, time I am afraid. He was afraid. I will trust in thee. In God will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do to me. He was afraid, but faith and trust in God is bound to conquer fears. If you're just letting your fears run wild, if you're going along with the news of the day, if you're going along with what everybody else is doing, if you're going along operating on the basis of fear and not faith, you're going to wind up really exercising yourself to the point where you won't be able to think straight. Faith and trust in God decides whether we cower or we conquer the fears of Corona. It's your choice. It's your choice. You came out today. It was your choice to be here. Anybody get sick yet? Who's sneezing? What did one casket say to the other casket? Is that you, coffin? Whew. Where did he dig that up? I'll repeat that part. Faith and trust in God decides whether we cower or conquer our fears of this disease. Psalm 27, verses 1 and 3. The psalmist writes this after his experience dealing with fear and recognizing that he could overcome it. The fear, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength, the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Of whom or of what? Third, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. That God is in control. He trusted the Lord. Don't let fear of the unknown immobilize you. Be wise, be cautious, be prudent, and follow God's prescription for dealing with contained diseases that you can contract. Coronavirus can be dealt with. So here's a couple of things I want to share with you out of God's word, which you just heard. Number one, stay home if you're sick with flu symptoms and call your doctor. Don't go to the doctor's office. They won't let you in. Stay away from people who are sick. Doesn't that make sense? God said, be contained. Don't touch them. Don't go near them. Stay away from people who are sick. Wash your hands frequently. Wash the things that you touch frequently. Here's the important part. Pray and praise. Ask God to put a hedge of protection around you and your family. Doing the right things, following what God's procedures are, you're going to come out of this all right. I come in contact with a lot of people. When I was out doing revival meetings, I went to 3 different nursing homes. At that point, they were still letting people in. I think so far I'm doing all right. I could drop dead tomorrow. But right now, I'm doing all right. I want to put my trust in the Lord and not put my faith in my fears. And that's where we are today. So I want you to leave here feeling encouraged. And I want you to pray that God would protect your family and protect our church family. Protect those who have to go out. I'm going to go to a funeral home today, and I'm going to see people I've never met before in my life. I don't know what the situation is, but guess what? God called me to be there. I'm going to go, and I'm going to have that sense that I've got a hedge of protection around about me, and I will not be afraid. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Why? Because you've come this far by faith anyway. Don't let go of that. Just remember, like I've told you before, I have a very dear friend who would call me up every time his business was in trouble. And he said, Bob, would you pray for me? Business cycle, it's down. And I want you to ask the Lord to get me through this. And we'd pray, and the Lord would get him through it. Next cycle would come, he'd call me back again. Bob, pray the Lord would get me through this cycle. And we'd pray, and the Lord would get him through it. And about like the third or the fourth time, I said to him, look, what God did for you in the past, he said, I know he got me through it in the past, but is he going to get me through this time? Just trust in the Lord. Look how far he's gotten you through. You've been held up by him. You've been lifted up by him. He's dealt with so many aspects of your life to get you through. Some of you have gotten through some of the hardest parts that life can ever throw at you. And you're still here, and you're still praising the Lord. Think of it that way. Don't be afraid. Don't be panicked. And the last thing I put on the list is live. Live your life. Go do the things that you want to do. The odds, the chances, whatever it is that they say, 97% that you're not going to get anything. And you're going to live like 97% of the chance you're going to get something? Are you going to live in the 90% that you're not? Or the 3% that you might? Where do you want to spend your head? Where do you want to spend your days? Where do you want to spend a beautiful day like this? Thinking, I got it? Or saying, hey, I'm in God's hands. If I get it, I don't know about it, we'll deal with it then. I want to encourage you this morning. Follow God's prescription for dealing with contagious disease, and it's all going to be all right. Yes, sister. Nobody cough. Would everybody cough just to make the sermon kind of come to a good end? Yeah, right? We didn't. All right, let's pray. Father, this morning we thank you that we can come to you even in the midst of a national panic. It just seems like America is having a national panic attack. And I pray this morning, Lord, that you would comfort us and strengthen us and give us peace. Lord, so many of our members are out today. But Lord, we know that folks have reason to be cautious. But Lord, let us not be immobilized in our caution. Let us not be up to our knees and up to our hips in worry and anxiety, because worry and anxiety and fear are only going to make matters worse for us. It's even going to make us more susceptible to illness. And so, Lord, I pray you bless my brothers and sisters, because with you we have nothing to fear. But fear itself, Roosevelt said. But then again you said, through David, that I will not fear. I will put my trust in you. And we do, and we thank you, and we praise you. In Christ's name, amen. Lauren will lead us in our closing hymn.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.